Gone to Ground, written by Bronwyn Hall and read by Annabelle Tudor. The pilot greeted me with a smile, which rapidly vanished when he saw my load. "We've got to go immediately," I said. "There's militia and gunfire less than half a kilometer away. They were firing on you as you came in." His eyes widened and his face paled. To his credit, he didn't waste any time and immediately pressed the buttons to get the engine restarted and the rotors powered up. "Stay here," I said to Ketya and placed her gently on the tiny rear seat. I ran back to the hut and, together, Michael and I struggled to carry the dead weight of Otis on the stretcher. The pilot held up a hand and waved it in a negative. When we got to the door of the chopper, he said, "There's no room. You can't all fit." "He's coming instead of me," I said. "What? It's okay, I'll hide or something. They'll think I've gone with you, so they won't look for me." Both of us knew I was talking crap, but while the pilot was clearly thinking I'd decided to be stupidly honourable, I was thinking about trying to get him and our patients into the air as soon as possible. Michael and I struggled to get the unconscious Otis into a sitting position in the front passenger seat, but with the pilot's help, we got him strapped in. Then Michael ran to get his bag, and when he'd replaced Ketya in the rear seat, I sat her in his lap. She was crying again, but the noise of the helicopter made talking impossible. I took the stethoscope from my pants pocket and hung it around her neck as a gift. Then I kissed her head and moved back. As I squeezed past the unconscious Otis, the glint of metal on his chest caught my eye and, impulsively, I scooped his dog tags over his head. Anton had been insistent about not wanting any of them to be known. I still didn't know why, but the dog tags would be a dead giveaway. The pilot was looking out his window and didn't see, so I shoved them firmly into my pocket. The only one to notice was Michael, and, after an initial look of surprise, he nodded. A sudden wrench at our parting hit me square in the guts, and without warning, my eyes pricked with tears. Michael saw and put his hand on his heart, then held it out to me. I did the same. We reached towards each other so the tips of our fingers touched, a silent message of friendship. We'd worked side by side for sometimes 20 hours a day over the last 3 weeks, and his quiet kindness had touched me more deeply than I'd realised. He was hugging Ketya close as I jumped down and waved them goodbye. "I'll be back," the pilot yelled, and I nodded. But I knew I wouldn't be here. I ran back to the shelter of the hut while the helicopter rose and banked steeply in the direction it had come from. The gunfire started again, but the chopper stayed low and was still flying unharmed when it disappeared from view. Anton, Jax, and Lucas were stationed at 3 separate windows, but Anton stepped back from his when I entered the building. "Otis has a much better chance now," I said. He looked at me, and I could read nothing in his expression. The next loud bang ripped through the air, but this time I was the only one who jumped.
100 meters, boss," said Lucas. "Time to go then," said Anton.
They swung their packs up onto their backs. There was one still on the floor sitting alongside my duffel bag. Anton lifted it up across his shoulders, and I saw him wince. So did Lucas.
"I'll take that one," he said, and lifted it from Anton.
I hastily hefted the 2 straps of my duffel bag over my shoulders. It wasn't built as a backpack, but having 2 straps meant I could use it as one. The 3 of them were waiting for me, weapons in their arms. I took a deep breath. "I'm ready,"